John Busby with a Culture Buzz, and joining me is one of the most delightful creatives I've ever had on this show, and she's come back a couple times to update us on her book, and it's going to be a delightful conversation, I promise you. In fact, she has inspired me to do something I have never done on this show before, and so Diane, just hold on as I go. Bonjour, Diane. Je m'appelle John Busby avec The Culture Buzz. Voulez-vous parler sur la livre? Why LA? Pourquoi Paris?
I'm very impressed.
That's from decades ago, high school French. I love the language. I never kept up with it, but it's still there. I know it is.
Well, now you have the bilingual.
I know. This is the
Come back and make it meaningful because you know the English, and then you can figure out from the French what it's saying. It's a perfect way to understand and learn the language.
That's why I was so excited to finally get this beautiful copy of this book that you sent me. Thank you. And it is. It's the bilingual version of Why LA, Pourquoi Paris. And it is a gorgeous book. And I'm going to put it this way, folks. You know, some people may think, you know, well, I've never been to LA. I've never been to Paris. Why would I care about this book? There are some cities in this world that are just so universal. You do not have to have gone to them to feel an affinity with those cities. And two, that are just bonded. And we're going to find out about this as Diane enlightens us today. Why Los Angeles and why Paris have a special bond. It's like you were prescient in creating this wonderful tome, and it's just taken on such a wonderful life. Before we started sharing the conversation with you folks also, and I'm going to steal her word because it's perfect, the beauty of this book is that it's growing organically, not just for the content of the book, but also for the two illustrators than all the artwork that are contained in this book. And so I'm purposely enticing you to listen to this conversation. I want you to pay attention. I'm going to give this website two or three times in the course of our little conversation today. It is YLAPourquoiParis.com. And it is just as it says, YLAPourquoiParis.com. And that you go there, wonderful website, informative. Diane has started writing a blog. I mean, she's like this goddess of information. She's always so enthusiastic. And we're going to have so much fun sharing this update because so much has happened since our last conversation. It's been months, almost a year, I think, since we talked. And you've been traveling back and forth and you...
As always.
It's you share such an excitement. This book was a book of love and passion for you.
Yeah.
But the response from the people that get their copies of the book has been, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You captured in such wonderful ways in the illustrations, in the language, in what you picked out. Let's start at the very beginning and tell us what the concept was behind this book. And now, then we'll expand the conversation with some of the new things. You have new things with this bilingual edition we're going to talk about and some, you know, current event things we could not have predicted a year ago even.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the book is about Paris and Los Angeles, and it's the mixing and pairing of yesterday and today, the monumental, the commonplace, the landmarks, the culture, the people. Most importantly, coming together through illustrations to tell the stories of these two cities. It's told through art because art liberates the soul and provokes the imagination and celebrates humanness. And it's amazing that I could communicate all this through my two incredible artists, Eric Juryat and Nick Liu. And it's been a beautiful venture, and we keep finding things that they have more in common about than they are different. And when I started, you know, it's called YLA, Pourquoi Paris, because in the beginning, when I started pitching the idea, everybody laughed and said, YLA, you know, and that was one of the reasons for the whole thing. And then when people would ask me about the book and how I came to live in Paris and LA, which is a question I get all the time, I always tell them it started with a dress, and that was for my daughter that I had bought in Paris, and my husband and I were on a business trip. And then after being a teacher for many, many years, and then going to school while I was still teaching to plan to become a financial planner, I got the idea of starting a business importing children's clothing from France. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened for 28 years, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So I left teaching and my training to be a financial analyst to start the company that imported designer children's wear, and then that allowed me to follow my dream and have a place of my own in Paris. And there was never a time I didn't love the city. Some of my favorite things about Paris, of course, include the breathtaking cityscape, the magnificent architecture, the light, the culture, the traditions, the history, the people, the fashion, the style, design, elegance, the food and wine, of course, its majesty, its smells, the love of life, joie de vivre, and mostly how I feel when I'm there. It's an emotion. Paris is an emotion, and so is Los Angeles. My favorite things here are natural beauty, the beaches, the mountains, the space, the light, the weather. It's 70 degrees today. The outdoor lifestyle that inspire feelings of freedom, independence, creativity. It's a kaleidoscope of diversity and eccentricity, and it's fascinating to live here. And its theme is laissez-faire. I mean, that's its culture. But they're both cities of dreams. They're, you know, as yep. was true in La La Land.
I was going to say, when La La Land came out, yeah. you must have just been ecstatic.
I was, and there was validation again. Oh, my God, this movie came out, and the audience was, you know, worldwide. They fell in love with it. And it's so true. It was a true story about the city. And they're both cities of dreams. It's where people fantasize, and they go, and they try to make those dreams happen. It's fascinating to see that in both places. It really, really is to me.
Well,
experience it in both places.
I was, I love to talk about your book with other people. I'm in such different eclectic groups all over the place. And
right.
I've just completed this last summer writing the third of a three-year cycle of a trilogy of plays based in World War II. And this last year I was talking with someone and they said, you know, my dad would have loved this book because he ended up in Paris at the end of World War II. And he spent a lot of time there. And there's another example of why you do not have to have been to Paris to appreciate what is in your book, because it is that there's a timelessness about what you've captured. It's still very timed, exactly. But there's a timelessness.
Yes.
And it's something that everyone can identify and really kind of savor. It's like watching a beautiful sunset.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Well, that was part of what I wanted to do, was to have people be inspired and dream and be, you know, and have these feelings of passion and memories for those people that had it, or memories of something that they associate with the experience when they see the artwork or they read part of the narrative that explains something in there. But to go on about the cities, too, they're both cities of visual and sensual pleasures, of light, color, texture, and mood, again, in both places that inspire creativity and art. It's interesting, you know, that, what did I say, I think it's 6 or 7 out of every 10 people in L.A. work in a creative business. And, of course, entertainment is, one of the biggest businesses here right now and has been, in addition to many, many others. One of the things that I learned myself was that L.A., this is shocking to me, has over 840 galleries of art.
Wow.
Which blew me away.
Wow.
Now, and Paris doesn't even have that many. It's just got a few hundred. Now, it's a bigger city, but I had no idea that we were that cultured. Seriously, and I'm not putting us down at all, but we had that many. It was just a fact that shocked me. I also didn't know that Paris has the more movie theaters than any other city in the world.
Now that I didn't know either.
Yeah. So there's all these quirky little things, trivia we call it, that, you know, that are in the book and things that I learned and that people will find out also about the two cities, things that they would expect one to have that the other doesn't have and vice versa.
Well,
and
you know, I want to stop on that just for a moment because those are two very pragmatic, important points of the two cities because, yes, it tells us about the culture that's supported in those cities, but it's a pragmatic culture because those businesses would not succeed if they weren't supported by patrons.
You're absolutely right.
So, you know, that in and of itself, I think, is really neat.
Yeah. No,
I don't want to derail your train of thought, but one thing, you know, if someone is out there thinking, well, I've got the original book, you know, you need a set, because here's why you need the bilingual set. Yeah. One, because it is the bilingual set, but two, and this is where we're going to anchor down with the fact that you can't hang a book on a wall too easily, but the illustrations are starting to take a special life of their own. You have new illustrations with this, and the art now is being recognized by an independent source, right?
Image Republic.
Wow.
Yes, in Paris, which has licensed the art and is selling it internationally. And I think the validation of the art, because they sell the New Yorker, they sell Paolo Mariotti's work, Sempi's work, Le Duo's work, Soledad's work. I mean, the fact that YLA Pourquoi Paris and Nick and Eric are being honored is just amazing, and people are buying them. It's wonderful. you know, they fall in love with one of the pieces of art. Now they can have them and hang it in their living room or their bedroom or wherever they want, of course. We still sell it on the Internet, too. Nick does make them by himself, so they can still be ordered on the website if people really fall in love with one and want that to happen.
And I will mention that again, folks. If you didn't get your pen out the first time, it is YLAPourquoiParis.com. YLAPourquoiParis.com. The reason this website is so important, if this fascinates you as it does so many other people, is Diane just can't help herself. She can't publish a new version of the book every 6 months. So this is something else she shared with me. So I'm hoping I'm not speaking out of school in front of the bazillions of people that are listening right now. But Diane is going to start sharing new stories on her website, right?
I will. I will. In fact, as a result of the launch of this book, there is a website, another website called, I lost it for a minute, but I had to write an article about cooking in L.A. and Paris with my two daughters, and we decided to do a chocolate cake. So that story will be on, it's called Eat, Darling, Eat. That's the name of the website.
Ooh.
Pretty soon, in a couple weeks, and then when that's out, I'll post it on the website, and that gave me ideas for posting more things like that, recipes or things that I just get an idea to do that we can cook in both cities. And that's hard. It's not easy because the ingredients are different and the measurement things are different. And, of course, their friend and family things, too. And who knows, that may evolve into another book. But
it's going to be great.
We talked about that I could never predicted were the Olympic Games.
I wanted that. You knew right where I was going to go with this. Diane, it's like we are simpatico. What can I say?
I know.
But, you know, you're right. This is just such a validation of why Los Angeles and Paris are linked.
Mm-hmm.
They're spiritually, their souls, their hearts are linked.
They really are. And I didn't create the whole Olympic thing, you know, but I knew about the idea.
Oh, I'll start the rumor. I'll make it happen that way.
Before this had all occurred, because in this case, these are both the only two cities that will ever have them for the third time. You know, in Paris, it hosted the Olympics in the 1900s.
Right.
And this is interesting. There were 1,000 participants from 24 countries with 19 sports. And then they held them again in 1924. Okay, then it tripled to 3,000 people, you know, participants, 44 countries, and 126 sports. And one of the reasons I am certain that they were given the 2024 Olympics was because it's a 100-year bookend.
Of course.
For the French. And then, you know, because there was a big rivalry between the L.A. and Paris for 2024, the fact that the Olympic Committee was so impressed with both cities because they both are great places. Different reasons, again, but they both have venues, and they both hosted them, and they know how to do it properly.
Yes.
They won't have to worry about what's gone on for the last few times in so many other countries. L.A. was awarded the Games in 1932 for the first time, and that was during the war, you know, right around the war. And there were only 1,300 athletes at that, which I thought was very interesting because it was right around the wartime, and, you know, it wasn't easy to do. 37 countries and 117 sports. And then in 1984, when LA had it, 7,000 athletes, 140 countries, and 221 events. So, you know, the Olympics is a big deal in the world, and
yes.
Of course, it brings people together. It shows excellence. It's what we all want the world to be like. So I'm very, very excited about it. And with LA, I just hope they get the LA River, which is a new illustration in the book, paired again with the scene. They get it beautiful. They're in the process of repurposing it now, and the whole design is by Frank Gehry. Believe it or not, he's heading the architecture.
Wow.
So my hope is that it'll be finished, and that's going to transform the city, because 25% of the city of L.A. is around the L.A. River, which is right now nothing more than an aqueduct. So that's going to, and, you know, of course, in Paris, it goes right down. It divides the city in two. There's 37 bridges spanning the Seine. I mean, it's one of the most beautiful things in the city. So it's going to be very interesting to see how L.A. reinvents itself, but they both are cities that are reinventing themselves constantly, all the time.
Well,
it's almost they're in this competition to see which one can be greener, you know, and green in every way you can think of, which one can have more entrepreneurial startups, which one's going to be the best in startups. There's this kind of competition between the two that makes each one better. It makes me smile when I think about all these transformative things that are happening in both places.
Well, it's a perfect way to further bond what you have recognized in your book. And, folks, this is a beautiful book. If you are learning French, if you know French, I mean, it's a perfect book for you to have. If you know someone who is bilingual in French, they will love the book. And you don't have to be, because you're going to gain so much, because this beautiful new tome is just marvelous. Mm. And it's going to be fun to watch how these bonds keep strengthening. I mean, the bonds were always there between Los Angeles and Paris. With the new Olympic movement happening, you're just going to be like Diane, smiling at what will be happening between these two wonderful, special cities. But the important thing is, I want you to get your copy of the book. Go to the website, YLAPourquoiParis.com. Get all the information there. Mainly get connected with Diane there, her blog, all the other information that is there, and become part of a really wonderful movement of Why LA, Pourquoi Paris, as only Diane Radican can instill in this book. You've heard just a few minutes of the enthusiasm, the love, the unbridled passion she has for these two incredible cities. That is contained in this book. It's contained in these illustrations, which, of course, this is radio, so I can't show you. You have to get the book. And the fun thing is you can even order these wonderful pieces of artwork for your office, for your home, for wherever you want to. Diane, it's been a delight as always. We could talk forever. I only have 2 hours each show. But the more fun thing is that we get to keep getting updates on a regular basis.
Yes.
In the meantime, folks, do go to YLAPourquoiParis.com. And Diane Radican, you will feel her love, her passion infused in each and every page, each and every illustration. This was a lovingly conceived and a beautifully delivered book, one that you'll be very proud to have on your shelf. Actually, it's going to be right out there front and center. So when people come to your place, they're going to say, "Wow, where'd you get that?" That's what they're going to say, Diane. Or they're going to say, "Mon Dieu, c'est magnifique."
Oui, c'est magnifique. Yeah, it's perfect.
I'm going to have to brush up on my French, because, you know, you and I are working on getting you here to Central Iowa so that we can have a special book tour here in the Heartland.
Yes, the Heartland. Absolutely. I can't wait. I really can't.
It'll
really
be fun.
It.
In the meantime, you and I will stay in touch. And congratulations on this next important evolution of Why L.A., Pourquoi Paris. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Okay. Au revoir.
Au revoir.